Duncan, if we were to put together a task force, we'd make sure that there's one seat on the table of the town representation on that task force to move forward. We want to move together, at least me, speaking for myself and hopefully my board members, we want to move together as one team. We want to make it an effort to best serve the citizens of everybody on San Juan Island and some of the outer islands too, I guess. But no, I mean, we want to work together as one unified group, Duncan, at least speaking for myself.
I think we feel the same way.
Yeah, I think it's the only way we can make this happen is we move together in one easy group.
Well, as Duncan mentioned, we are going to need help, though. This goes far beyond what the council is able to do to promote, and we're legally not even allowed to once it comes up as a ballot measure. We won't be able to go out and campaign for this. So hopefully you'll be able to put together an organization that will be able to come into town and explain this to the property owners, specifically to the property owners and those who are going to be impacted. It's going to mean somewhere between $300 and $450 a year for the average property owner.
Maybe a little less than that. No, you guys own big houses. Maybe that's what you're saying.
Farmhouse little guys, you won't be the point that
much. $450.
It'll be probably closer to $250.
I'm guessing less than $250. I mean, we don't have enough detail right now to know exactly, but.
Well, using the calculation that the fire district uses for our assessment, we should be able to
get close. It'll shift around a little bit, but we can get pretty close, I think.
You know, Duncan, when Skagit Valley just went through this, they encouraged us be proactive, very positive, lots of meetings, neighborhood meetings, get out and put this out to the people. Right? Be very transparent. A lot of effort into that.
And stressing the efficiencies and stressing the improvement in service. Those are the things, because there are still some lingering questions about EMS in the past, and you know, we just don't want any of that to come up. We want this to be all for the good of everybody moving forward.
Thank you. We've received a lot of information tonight. We've got the reports to still go through. We've got the document to go through. I've been through it twice so far. I still have questions, but I don't think a lot of my questions have been answered just with the discussion that we had with the CAG group. Is there any other discussion?
Well, I'd like to backtrack a little bit and reiterate in the form of a motion, first of all, the acceptance of the CAG's recommendation to go forward, and also with great gratitude and respect for you folks. It really was a scholarly work, so I'd like a second to that motion.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion now. We'll start with Rebecca Smith. We'll give an opportunity for the board members to speak their individual opinions.
When I got the report, I was printed on my home printer, and I realized how many pages it was. I called Nathan. I was bowled over by how comprehensive it was, how thorough I knew you were working. We had agreed to stay out of the CAG, so I did not attend meetings, but I read all of the minutes and followed up on everything, and I've been impressed all along with the detail of what you've gone into and what you've done, and how much time obviously went into it. You're probably happy that this is done and printed it out. And this information will obviously be thoroughly used throughout the entire process as we move through the next step and work through the details of an integration. So I can say nothing but thank you.
Yeah, I'd concur and add to that my thanks. It's a lot of work. And Nathan, also thank you for your work product. Much appreciated. Based on what we received, I agree that we should move forward take the next step and consider formation of a steering committee.
Annalisa.
Thank you all for your hundreds of hours that you put into this on behalf of the community. It's really appreciated. My only comments would be that I just hope that this process would continue to move forward as a transparent process as you started it. The minutes and the audio from your meetings have been posted on the website. This report will be available to the public tomorrow. It's very important that we have feedback from the community and community involvement as we move forward. Also, that the leadership of both agencies operate in a unified manner. And I really liked a quote in this report from Dr. Sullivan, where he said, talking about EMS, he said, the most valuable instruments are always people. There are valuable people at EMS, and we all need to keep that in mind with both agencies as we move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa Warren.
I did attend a lot of meetings. I wish you guys had served popcorn, but that was
and what I learned the most just watching is the amount of due diligence when you bird dog this thing. Right? I mean, really. I mean, some of those discussions on boundaries, taxation, were absolutely amazing. But we still have unknowns that we don't know. We have little corners that got discussed that didn't get in the report because there were little corners. And to know them would have taken even longer. So my goal in all of this is that we take that due diligence and continue. We involve the community, like Katie Holstein highly recommended on the certificate of needs. And we look at the equities of who's paying for what. To make sure that the voters on the other side in the county, your point, those guys out on the islands, those 55 voters, I think their budget is they put $954,000 into EMS. That's $17,000 a voter. Looking at it from the flip side, because those are expensive state houses. So I think there's a lot of political questions that we need to solve. And that isn't going to happen fast because we have to educate the public. Your education is throughout this, it talks about education, but it's never brought up as a point of its own. We have to educate the public, we have to educate, co-educate firefighters and paramedics. We have to educate ourselves. You guys have been doing this for years. We've had this for 3 days. There's a lot of information. Our board has had some issues with our CID and our due diligence. You have to wonder. So we need to look at the unknowns. So to go quickly, you trip over the unknowns or you get past them. You know, some things in here like how are you going to cover liabilities for 19 years after EMS leaves? Is a fire going to pick up that bill? EMS, what are we going to do with the building? There's more to this than just putting two groups together. It's about educating our public so that we all are headed in the same direction. Back to you guys. I owe every one of you, as I'm speaking as an individual, not as a commissioner, I owe every one of you here.
So I'd like to reiterate what Annalisa said, and that is you folks collectively personified epitome of transparency. I mean, you went to your task, you had open meetings, God bless you, you started at 6:30 at night, you put in 250 hours plus into this whole process, and you work for cheap, and it's absolutely wonderful. Your work product has got this train out of the station, and will save both boards if we go forward with measurable time and effort, and we thank you very much.
At this time,
we have a motion on the floor, first of all, and Dr. Appleton wants to say.
And I forgot, Nathan, public, this guy deserves a lot of credit.
He
was the glue that really kept this thing focused and going, and you did it with such grace. I'm just proud to know you, and I bless you.
It's a nice color red.
So I call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
All right, I'll turn it back. I'd like to open up discussion for our board. Do you have questions for CAG discussion? Let's start with Mr. Olson.
Okay. With the group of people that we have in this room, there's no reason this is not going to go forward, folks. It has to happen. And I don't want to, you know, not too much gloom. I mean, we've got so much talent here, this will work, folks. If we get out there, we get this thing operating, we show the taxpayers what we can do, they'll support us 150%. I mean, we've got talent here that's unbelievable. Look what this group put together in a year. And with the town, we can work with the town. We'll make it work. There's enough legal avenues going forward. We can get this off the ground and running pretty darn quick. And then we'll work downstream, putting together getting the town into the district. And I know, Duncan, we've talked about this many times. You've got to give something back to the taxpayer. You can't add hundreds of dollars to their tax bill and just say thanks. So I think with our chief and Carl and the group, we'll put together a committee and let's march forward. And I really thank the group for the time they put in this. I'm glad I wasn't on that. My wife would have fired me for one thing. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Go ahead.
I've got some questions. I'll just address it to all of you, although some of them are specific to what each of you talked about. And forgive my ignorance on these matters, but this is kind of new to me. So, lid lift. You mentioned that we could raise the lid lift, but it was suggested not to raise it above what the combination would be right now. I understand that perfectly. But in the reading that I did about it, lid lifts are only temporary, from what I read. That's not right.
They can be permanent.
You can do a temporary, yeah. But you can also do a permanent.
Okay.
So you can do both ways.
That takes care of that problem. Outer islands. We talked about the outer islands and that right now they are paying for EMS.
Can it correct the number that
It doesn't
throw out there? It's like $70,000.
$60,000 or $70,000
a year.
So is it?
It's not 900 and whatever. That's about half the budget. So it's not close to that.
994.
It's
something
like that.
Okay, so is it the CAG's recommendation that they no longer pay anything and that because it's only one or two runs, that if through our just being nice guys, we would go out there and take care of those calls?
It is, and it's our recommendation because it's not worth the effort to annex them into the district.
You know, one thing I would say, though, is we did talk about, as difficult as it might be because of the logistics involved, it would be very important to have a conversation with those residents and have a conversation and see what they feel about what they're paying for and what they're receiving. Nobody's really engaged in that conversation, and that's one thing we did want to urge the effort.
They've never been asked. Do you like the service you're getting or not?
Right.
Do you mind paying or not?
And we're going to go out there anyway.
Right.
But I'd also,
your vote?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'd also like, though, to add a point to that. Healthcare is changing, and the way it's being delivered is, I mean, there's a lot of change that's going on. You know, we look at it from a response standpoint. We did two responses or three responses. But when you look at community paramedicine, mobile integrated health, that's preemptive care, or it is care that is given in a non-emergent fashion. There's a lot that can go on. And so I want to caution us in that and how we look at this healthcare and how, you know, as a fire board picks this up. I think that from the residents on the outer islands, not unlike the residents here, we're a fairly aged population in the county, and there's a lot of probably opportunity for healthcare initiatives that could be rendered to everybody within the county, certainly everybody within the response, and that includes the outer islands. So I think, you know, George makes a good point, but Chuck makes a good point too, and I think find balance, you know, as the Citizens Advisory Group, find balance, but ensure that you're exhausting going forward in better care than potentially less, and that's what I would ask as a member of the Citizens.
I just, not that I don't feel magnanimous enough to go out there once or twice a year to help somebody out. That's what we do. But to tell them that we're going to give it to you for free I think there needs to be something worked out there, but that's something for us to discuss.
No, I agree too, and we did talk about equity. Yeah. I mean, and equity means equity in receiving services, but equity in investing in services right. too.
The next one was licensing for that was brought up that we would have to obtain our own license if we were to do this. My question would be, can we obtain a license without offering services? So,
no.
So here's my thought on that is that, okay, this is something that has to happen fairly quickly if we're going to get our license, right? Because it's going to be 5 years down the road before we can do it again. Is that what I
No.
Understand?
No, you can do it anytime. It's just a longer process.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what George was referencing is that they're going through, and it's a planning process, and they look at what. So when you issue licenses, they're issued to the level of care, either basic life support, advanced life support, and so forth. There's so many licenses within a particular geographic area. So what happens is that the state manages all that, manages it through a level that goes to the region. So just by alerting them to what's going on, you already hold the licenses, or EMS holds the licenses. While you will get new, it will actually transfer from a standpoint of there won't be any additional ALS or BLS coming over without a loss of a license. But when you apply for the licenses, you have to demonstrate your units, you've got to demonstrate your personnel, and there's a whole lot that goes along with that process. So you're going to have to be in place for the levels of care that you're going to. Now, you might be able to do lower levels of care, but at least where you're trying to provide services and advanced life support, you're going to have those things identified.
Just one second.
Yeah.
On that subject, so if we get in the process now, we wouldn't have to move through all those hoops to get the license transferred over. We could pretty much move.
No, you need a new license.
You still got to
an application process. You can start anytime. And the reason for bringing it up that they're going through a 5-year plan process right now is that it would involve a revision to the regional plan in 5 years if the providers change. So if you guys take it over and EMS as exists now with their license goes away, that's a change to their 5-year regional plan. And they just have to do an update. If they know it's coming, even if you haven't applied, they'd at least put a placeholder in there about the plan's going to change to this at whatever time it happens.
Okay.
There's a certain amount of EMS liability currently. And there's some concerns about what those liabilities are going to be in the near future. And one of the concerns was about the state's looking at what they're going to fine EMS for what had happened in the past.
Your transport. Yeah, the SID.
The SID.
Correct. So we don't know what that is yet, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so there's that liability. The other one is, and I don't know whether it's something that we necessarily have to worry about, but I'd like to bring it up because it could be something that might affect us. And that was with a couple of irregularities with the former chief, with his licensure and his working relationship in EMS. And I just want to be sure that we are not going to be, or even the hospital board, will be liable in any way for any of those expenses that may occur from that.
You know, we did discuss this issue briefly, and frankly, in the transfer of any organization or any assets from an organization to another organization, the liabilities remain with that host organization. And that's something that you would work through as you go forward. But we never saw liability shifting. Everybody's got existing liabilities from the time that they were responsible for those operations.
It's not as solid an answer as I'd like, but it's pretty
well. Well, we're not going to say that neither the hospital district or the fire district is going to have any liability coming out of those things.
Right.
But right now, they are the hospital district's liabilities, and there's no reason to believe that they need to change to yours. Since you're moving assets and personnel, you're not acquiring liabilities.
I was once married to an attorney, but I've never been an attorney. That's as far as I can go.
I think that some of these questions, there's going to be a lot more questions.
And there's detail.
That arrive this way. I think all this discussion, it's time that we take a hard look, and we've got all this information in front of us. We've asked for the citizens for your input, your recommendations. I think it's time that we look at putting together a task force to put the nuts and bolts to see if this will really work to go together. And that task force would answer all these questions that you have, and there's going to be a lot more too that we have to go through the nuts and bolts of how it'd work and if it'll work. It'll be up to us to do the implementation of, take the recommendations and implement it. So at this time, I'd entertain a motion to put together a task group to.
How about us accepting or not accepting the offer, the CAGs, or the recommendation? That's what the hospital board just did.
Who can make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the recommendations as outlined in the CAG recommendations. Proceed.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the CAG report with the recommendations to move forward. Is there any discussion?
No.
You're getting here to learn this stuff, Frank. Way to go. Go ahead and call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
I think I learned from you. Aye.
So with that being said, do I hear a motion to establish a task group to move to make this implementation move forward?
Stand by. I move that the San Juan County Fire District 3, Public Hospital District 1, and the Town of Friday Harbor establish a joint steering committee to begin the process of working out the details of a possible integration of EMS and fire services. This committee shall be composed of 5 persons consisting of the fire chief and the EMS chief. The remaining 3 members shall consist of a commissioner delegate from the San Juan County Fire District Number 3, a commissioner delegate from Public Hospital District Number 1, and a delegate from the Town of Friday Harbor. The steering committee shall retain Nathan Butler for administrative support.
You knew that was coming.
That wasn't meant as a question. This committee shall have whatever funds remain from the completion of the Citizens Advisory Group, which is estimated to be $6,000.
It's a bit over that.
Yeah.
It's over that?
Yeah.
They didn't spend all their money.
We were cheap. Wait a minute, the party.
The after party. Okay, in addition to a further $2,500 from San Juan County Public Hospital District 1 and Fire District Number 3, respectively. Further funding requests shall be considered by each agency and submitted in advance.
Here's a motion and a second on the floor. I'll go ahead and submit the written motion to our secretary so that we get it right.
Okay.
Any discussion? The only discussion I'd have on it is that this group, we can go ahead and decide who our representative will be at our next meeting, which is going to be next week. Give us some more time to talk about what's been presented to us and all that this evening. With that being said, any further discussion? I'll go ahead and call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes 3-0.
So I'd like to proffer a like-kind motion voiced by Frank and to the PhD board. Ask for a second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
So are these meetings going to be open?
I think they have to be, don't they?
No.
Typically they're not.
No.
I think we should discuss that.
I would
the recommendation from Katie Holstein and the auditor was you want to keep this process as open and as transparent as you can to get buy-in from the people that are going to be voting on it. So I think that's a discussion that we need to have it before we go forward with this.
Well, certainly have two components to that. The internal workings of the steering committee typically are not open to the public. That said, you know, reflecting the history of putting Peace Island Medical Center together is over 6.5-7 years. Is that we had a myriad of public forums and open houses and you name it. And so we share the information, the periodic information, not only in those arenas, but also, again, reflecting the course during the formulation of Peace Island. I, as treasurer of the PhD and a part of the steering committee, gave monthly reports as far as the ins and outs of the proceedings of the steering committee. So I suggest that we do the question.
May I make a suggestion?
Sir.
I understand your concerns, and I have the same ones. Maybe once a committee is put together and they have their first meeting, that they resolve all those issues at that time. You know, what meetings would be open when they would have them, that type of thing.
Further discussion? Director?
That's a good suggestion from Frank, that the steering committee meets so that they can decide what is going to happen and how it's going to work, because we don't have any idea at this point in what meetings might be open and what committees might work at.
And also, that's not part and parcel of this,
this motion.
Of this motion. So that's a determination given the opinion of Dr. Appleton and others that taken into consideration, you know, and frankly, historically, in the context of the Peace Island project, we did just that. And we combed down the workings of the steering committee. By necessity, we also made it open, so we had actionable. Dr. Sweeney.
Ready to vote.
Annalisa.
It's important to me that it is a transparent process. So whatever the steering committee does, the audio at least needs to be available in the minutes.
Okay. I have one more question. Can you actually make a motion that you're going, that Nathan has to work? I mean, no, really, can you make a motion that you're going to hire one person? I just don't know.
Well,
it seems to work for my wife, Dr. Appleton.
The first thing.
And who would the city, in this motion, who would the city anticipate being that person?
It's up to them to decide. It's up
well,
to
point something.
Yeah, I mean,
would it be someone from the council? Would it be Duncan? What would be your thinking?
It'd be.
I think we'll have to take a little time to discuss it, but
the same
I'm
way
sure
that,
you will have somebody.
The same way that we're going to discuss it in our group, who's going to be over
asking them?
Yeah. That's what you do.
I can't speak for the town right now. But. Duncan, you have an idea?
That is the lowest man on this totem pole. I don't know. We're going to have to see how the council feels about it. There may be people on the council that want to be involved in that process. and if none of them do want to be involved in the process, I know who's going to get appointed to go to it.
The train coming.
All right, open your calendar, you're going to be busy.
Is that light at the other end of the tunnel, or the train coming out?
Okay, call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Also, referring with Chairman Jarman, I think it's the best interest of doing it properly that we defer selection of our liaison person. You're going to have your meeting, what, next week?
Yeah, we'll have ours next week.
Yeah.
And then it's we should, the council, the town council needs time to discuss. We need time to discuss. It's all this information, we still got to go through it. I'm sure we're going to have more questions and that sort of thing as well, too, that we'll discuss at our next meeting and move it forward. But we do need time. And when would your next meeting be?
What date is that, Nathan? You know, over there.
It's the 24th.
So yeah. I would suggest that, you know, I hate to be the drag along here, so we can call a special meeting commensurate with your next regular meeting. It's going to be a short meeting, I think. But we do need time to digest, you know, you said 116 pages, I counted 106, but a lot of information. And think about the best person to represent our respective boards.
So I'd like to set a date, you know, have our representatives selected no later than April 20th. That would does that work for the town?
Yeah, we have a meeting this Thursday and on the 18th. So we'll know the after the 18th.
We already know three members of the committee.
Nathan's on every committee.
So Nathan will probably be after us on the 20th. Make sure we have our selections ready to go. All right. At this time, I'd like to open the floor to the public for comment. I put the public comment towards the end of the meeting so that everybody had the same information. If they had questions, it could have been answered. I'd like to keep the floor open for at least a half hour if we got enough. And people, will limit you to 3 minutes. And
he's going to do the clock.
Stay on track. And we don't have a podium, so I'll just ask you to stand up, say your name clearly so we can get it in the record, and present brief.
Say your name for the record.
Mr. Jensen.
I'm John Jensen. I was a fire commissioner here for 18 years. I was a park ranger for 32 years in charge of wildland fire, structural fire, EMS, search and rescue, and law enforcement. So I've had about 50 years involved in the fire business. So I still know a little bit about it. And while I appreciate all the hard work that the board did putting it together, I totally disagree. I think that we have to do something different. We have the best fire department in the whole state. Our permanent employees are magnificent, and our volunteer employees are just fantastic. And I know there's good employees at EMS too. But our last two fire chiefs have brought us out of the red into the black, and we have 6 new pieces of apparatus in the last 6 years. They have been wonderful with the budget, and the board has been wonderful directing them. In contrast, the EMS district chiefs, the last two, have taken the district, the EMS district, into the red, have been totally wrong, and the board hasn't done anything about it. It's a terrible, terrible operation, and their salary schedule is terribly wonky. It's way out of line. I don't think the fire department should absorb that so that it brings the EMS people out of the red into the black, when we, as a fire district, are doing just wonderful right now. And I heard, well, here's an example. Fire department goes and puts out a fire and charges our taxpayers nothing. EMS will take you from the hospital to the airport less than a half a mile and charge you hundreds of dollars. There's something wrong with that whole operation, and the fire district should not have to take that over and make it right. In addition, Five members on the board has never worked anyplace, including the county and the hospital district. Three members on the board work well. I have been with you guys a long time, and we work together extremely well. So I am totally against it, and I urge the fire commissioners to vote no, no, no. Strongly urge it. And as Bob German, the chairman, says, listen to the old man. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, John. There's a lot behind that sentence of when John says it. He told me several times I need to learn to listen to the old man, and I eventually did. Is anybody else out there would like to address?
Sharon.
Orrin Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon.
That's all right.
Emergency doctor, retired. Worked with EMS for a long time here. For many years, 40 years in California. And my concern was having a unified command structure to respond, to provide emergency response in an archipelago of islands that is interlaced with massive faulting, massive earthquake potential, tsunami, fire, you name it. And right now, we are a bunch of fragmented entities working throughout this archipelago. The mutual response, mutual aid response, which I, when I testified before the CAG, was from 2006, and nobody recognized the names anymore. How are we supposed to respond as a team if we don't have a unified command structure? That's what this is going to give us.
Thank you, Lauren. Sharon.
Sharon Cavista. It's a question, not a comment. I know the EMS levies expire every 6 years and we have to go out for a vote, and the fire district's levies don't do that. What does the combined one, what are the rules for the combined?
Sharon, the answer is the fire district levy is permanent,
right?
Which means it's also got that 1% cap on the total levy amount that they take, so it's reducing every year as a percentage of, you know, as the levy goes down due to the cap, right? So every so often the fire district is presumably going to need to do a lid lift to get back up to a rate that would give them the revenue that they're going to need to provide their services, but it's a permanent levy, so it never goes away.
Right.
The EMS levy could have been chosen as either a 6-year levy, a 10-year levy, or a permanent levy, and they chose 6 years.
Who's they?
Back when it was first created, when the first levy was passed, it was created as a 6-year levy. When it moved over to the hospital district, it didn't change. They did the same thing and ran a 6-year temporary levy that has to be renewed with a continuation levy every 6 years. Mm-hmm. The good thing about that is you don't have to do a lid lift, because when you do it, you go back to the rate that you typically could have taken. So they don't do lid lifts, they do a continuation levy every 6 years.
Yes.
So that's a choice that was made when you did the levy.
So what happens if you
It's merge? The EMS levy that dictates that. If you don't have an EMS levy and instead the fire district just does a lid lift, it's their permanent levy that continues and the EMS mm-hmm. levy disappears. There is no temporary levy anymore.
Okay, I just need to say one thing. When the taxes go up 1% every year, you have more money every year. I'm not saying it's enough.
No, that's
but the whole thing, the whole BS about, well, our rate goes down, is people try to use that to fool the public all the time. And it just bugs the hell out of me.
All right.
Okay.
Well, those will be questions our task force will be able to address as well, too. But we do have a permanent levy, as stated. And we've always prided ourselves working within that levy, so we have not had to go to the voters yet for a lid lift. If we do go, we'll have to go to the voters for a lid lift to cover the additional cost of providing EMS service. Any other? I was expecting that, Mr. Grout.
I'm glad.
Richard Grout, I'm among those people who've lived here long enough to remember when EMS separated from the fire department. And when the CAG started this process, well, actually when the commissions initiated it, I was very skeptical. I just thought, oh, we've been there, I remember all of that. No. I was at, and their meetings were all public. I only missed a few of them over that whole year. And over the course of that year, my opinion changed. As I listened to all of that really in-depth, intelligent discussion, my opinion changed, and I support it. And I think one of the critical things you guys raised at the start of this discussion is whether your task force meetings should be open to the public. You had earlier discussion about the need to sell all of this to the public. You know, you're going to have to go out and do some PR work. In my opinion, you will be making a huge mistake if those meetings are not open to the public. People, I mean, you hear some of the disagreement here tonight. If people think anything is being done covertly, you will start losing supporters. Make the meetings open. These guys met for a year, and the crowd varied from 1 to 3. You know? So you're not going to get a room full of people at every meeting. It simply won't happen for this kind of discussion. Make them open to the public. Please.
Thank you, Dick. Any other public comment?
No.
With that being said, I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
I second.
I have a motion for adjournment on this side for adjourning the meeting.
And we don't adopt motions to do that, so no. The PhD meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.